some praise this morning. Put your hands together. Give God a praise clap. Man, Christmas is coming, isn't it? Christmas is coming. It's on its way. Last week, Carl Cole, one of the deacons here at our church, introduced us to the Advent Christmas season. He did a knockout job, did he not, last week? For those of you all that was here, he did a fantastic job, and we appreciate Carl. Appreciate all of our deacons that are here to serve and what God is doing. So he introduced us to a little bit of a theme last week called From the Cross, From the Cradle to the Cross. And we're talking about getting ready for Christmas, that Jesus Christ, the big idea is that Jesus Christ was born on this earth at Christmas, not just for lights and not just for cool presents and things like that, but was born to be our Savior, born to be our rescue at Christmas, born to be the one that would go to the cross. So we are excited about this Advent season. And Megan and Jesse did an awesome job lighting our candle of peace today, as the second Sunday of Advent is all about peace. Even though it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, it's not here yet, right? You know how many more days it is till Christmas comes? Anybody know? I know. Here's how I know. We have one of these things in our house. You might have one of these in your house, something like it at least, a little Christmas countdown. Last Saturday, when we got back from our vacation, we actually began putting up the tree. Who's got your tree up? Yeah, all right, okay, many of you all do. And it was, we found this in the box. You got the box, right, the Christmas box. We found this in the box, and of course, Gracie had to set the timer on how many days it was till Christmas. We hung it up, and in the process of that, that night, she was beginning to ask us, Mom, Dad, when are presents coming? You know, that was the first thing she said, when are the presents coming? And we said, well, it's going to be a little bit. So, you know, watch the countdown, watch the timer so you can know that it's coming. But here's the reality. We got the lights hung. We've got the trees up, or they're coming up. We are making our plans, etc. But the reality is we still have to wait a little bit for Christmas. It's not here yet. And I don't know about you, but Kenny Rager's not fond of waiting at all. And some say it's my ADD. I don't know what it is. I just say it's me, all right? But I don't really like to wait for a lot of stuff. And I have found in life that I've had to wait for some stuff before. I think about when me and Taryn were dating. I was ready to give her that ring. And then I was ready for the day to come. Then I was ready for kids to come. I mean, I've had to wait for all kinds of stuff. And then I think about when we had our first baby and we had to wait for the baby to grow and to come into the world, we had to wait for the second one, had to wait for the third one. It's like God is just liking us to wait, is he not? And you know, waiting is just part of life. Even our church is in a time of waiting. Did you know that? God has provided for us. He's given us a great facility to meet in, and we don't know how long we'll be here. We may be here indefinitely. I don't know. God has us here to minister in this place right now. But the reality is we're waiting. We're waiting for one day when we buy land, or one day when land is given to us, or we buy a building, or we remodel a building, or something. We're waiting. Now, with me saying that about waiting, and you got presents waiting for you to be open, let me ask you this. Any of you all have to wait on anything else today just besides Christmas? Anybody else waiting for anything today? Yeah. You know, some of you all are waiting for when God may bring that godly husband or that godly wife into your life. Or you're waiting for the day that God will give you children. Or you're waiting for those test results to come back and to get a definitive answer on that. You're waiting for this class to be over. Or you're waiting for this child to give their life to the Lord or to come back to the Lord. You're waiting. I think about the events that happened this week in the news and, you know, the tragic attack that happened out in California, the terror attack that happened. And here we are talking about Advent. Carl did a wonderful job of telling you this last week, but Advent not only reminds us of Jesus' first coming, it makes us look forward to his what? To his second coming. So Advent, Christmas time, reminds us that Jesus has come one time, and guess what? He's coming again. So we're waiting for just this day when the Lord will heal us, heal our world from things like ISIS, and heal our world from poverty and crime, and will bring a healing over that. We wait for that. All of you all are waiting for something today, be that a health problem resolved, marital issue resolved, I don't know. But here's the big idea today, and throw it up on the screen, Tanner. This is what I want you to see in your notes today. I may have to wait, but I don't have to wait for peace today. See, the reality is when I'm waiting for something, I get very, very anxious. I get very nervous when I'm waiting for anything. I get incredibly nervous. I get anxious. I want to jump the gun. I want to make it happen. Am I the only one that does that in here today? That if it's not going on my time frame and my way that I think it should be going, I'm ready to execute it, pull the trigger, make it happen, right? But you know what I'm reminded about all the time? Kenny's not God. And Kenny can't just snap his fingers and make things happen according to Kenny's time frame. Can you? See, in times of waiting, I get so anxious sometimes, so nervous sometimes, just wanting it to happen, wanting to make it happen then. And the reality is, in times of waiting, you know what? I don't have a lot of peace in times of waiting. And here we are waiting for the return of Christ, waiting for Christmas, waiting for that problem to be resolved, waiting for God to bring healing into your life, or waiting for God to do something, right? But you have no peace. And what I want to tell you today is that, yes, waiting is a fact of life. It's going to happen. So go ahead and look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. And repeat after me. You're going to have to wait on some things. You're going to have to. There's just no other way around it. You will have to wait in life for things to happen. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. You ready? Even though you have to wait on some things in life, you don't have to wait without peace. You do not have to live your life full of anxiety, full of nervousness, full of worry, full of doubt, waiting for that deliverance to come. You don't have to live that way. Actually, we can today have peace today. You can have peace in your life today. If there's one thing I want to hammer home to you today is this, is that you don't have to wait for peace. Peace can come into your life right now at this moment on this day. And this wonderful story that Megan read to us is a reminder at Christmas time that peace can come to us. Simeon was a man that was waiting for Jesus to come, waiting for the Lord to be born. But he wasn't there. He didn't see the donkeys. He didn't see the stable. He didn't see the star. He missed it all. He missed it. And this man is waiting for Jesus to come. And Jesus is born. Christmas comes. And in the process of that, a Jewish little boy, they've got to take him to the temple to perform what the law requires. So they take Mary and Joseph, take them down to Jerusalem, and they go up there. And here is this godly, devout man, probably elderly. We don't really know how old he was, but he was probably elderly. And the Spirit had told him that he would not die until he saw the Messiah, that he saw, and the Bible says, the consolation of Israel, which means the comforting hope of the people, the comforting hope. He would not die until he saw it. Sure enough, he went in there by the Holy Spirit, and there was that little baby being held in the arms in that temple complex, and that man came and picked up and held the maker of the universe in his hands. Peace was there. He found peace. And today, I believe with all my heart, you don't have to walk out those doors today without peace in your life over whatever situation you're dealing with. You don't have to walk out of here today without peace. I want to explain today three things really quick why you don't have to wait for peace. Here's why. I don't have to wait for peace. I don't have to wait for peace. Are you ready? I don't have to wait for peace because of these things. First, I want you to see this. I don't have to wait for peace because God is guiding me to peace. God is guiding me in my life, where I am, what I'm doing right now. The Lord is in the process of moving me towards a peaceful life. Now, let me explain that. In the passage, we see this. It says, Simeon took the boy Jesus, or the guided by the Spirit, verse 27, guided by the Spirit. He entered into the temple complex when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to perform for him what was customary under the law. This man was waiting. We don't know, again, don't know a whole lot about him, but he loved God. He loved the Lord. And the Spirit was on him, which was unusual. We did a whole study about the Holy Spirit in this church a few months ago, and we learned that when you believe in Jesus, every believer receives a spirit. But prior to the Holy Spirit coming, it wasn't like that. The Spirit would maybe come on this person for a time and then that person for a time to accomplish tasks. But this man, who we know very little about, was under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and he saw the baby. And literally, before he even saw the baby, the Spirit of God was literally guiding Simeon's steps to find Jesus, because the Lord had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the boy. He saw the boy. So there was a guiding of God's Spirit. Last week, we went on vacation, and we had a good time. It was fun. We actually, believe it or not, were going to go to Atlanta, and we decided at the spur of the moment not to go to Atlanta. We changed our plans literally the night before, and we went to Gatlinburg. We saw two bears. One of them was eaten out of a dumpster. Cool experience. All right, so kind of neat. But we still saw it. Freaked Gracie out, but it was awesome, okay? So we got to go to Gatlinburg. Even though it was so spur of the moment, there was still some planning that we had to do. So, we had to call the hotel. We had to do this and that. On the way down there, Terrence checking TripAdvisor for this and that. We had to find out our hotel. So, even though it was so spur of the moment, it still required some planning and some organization. It required some stress for us to make sure that it happened. But in Simeon's life, he was told that he would see the Lord. How much planning did he have to do to get to peace? Zero. Who did the planning for peace in his life? God did. He ordered his steps, he guided his steps, and led that man right into the temple at the exact same time that the boy would be there. So, here's what you need to realize from that. You need to realize from that. Is that today you may not have the Holy Spirit leading you into a church service or a temple. You might. Some of you today may have come not knowing that it was God who led you here. That it was the Lord leading you here. But the reality is that God uses all kinds of stuff to guide our paths. Because God wants you to have peace as much as you want to have peace in your life. God wants you to have peace in your life as much as you want peace in your life. Now, he uses different ways. I think about the Bible. God gives us the Bible. He gives us his word to lead us to words of peace and words of life. He gives us, yes, the church, a community of believers. But man, oh, the Holy Spirit, how he works on us and how he guides us and how he moves in our life to get us to where we need to be. Have you just stopped for a second to think that in your journey, what you're doing right now, what you're dealing with right now, this might be God ordering your steps and making you walk a certain path so you can discover peace today? Could it be that nobody is here by accident today? Could it be that what happened on the way over here today, on the way into church, was not by accident, but God was guiding your path, guiding your way, leading you through his word, his church, and his spirit, doing something in your life so you can walk out of here with peace today? I want you to know God is working in your life right now for you to have peace in your life, for you not to wrestle with all of this anxiety and fear and worry. But here's what you got to do. You've got to open your eyes and acknowledge and see that God's hand is on you. And boy, that's hard, isn't it? That's hard. Because when you go through a hardship or a disaster, you think, Lord, where were you when this happened? What is going on? Why did this happen? Yada, yada, yada. But yet, you've got to just believe what the promise says in Romans 8, that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. That God is moving you and guiding you into peace today. But I also want you to know that you don't have to wait for peace today in your life, because peace has already come. Peace has already come, and peace has a name, and that name is Jesus today. Peace has come, and it's here, and he has a name. Are you ready? The reason you don't have to wait for peace today is because peace is not some theoretical, mumbo-jumbo, pie-in-the-sky, ethereal feeling, okay? Peace is a physical person, and his name is Jesus Christ. That's what peace is. Peace in your life, in your soul, is knowing the Lord. Now look what happens. Simeon picks up the boy. He picks him up, takes him up in his arms. He praises God, and he says this awesome prayer. He says, "Now, Master, you can dismiss your slave in peace as you've promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation. You have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation for the Gentiles and glory to your people, Israel." So here's what happens, this wonderful, beautiful story. Simeon picks up the baby, and he prays, and he says this word, "Now." Can you just imagine the relief that came out of him when he said that? Waiting his whole life to see the Messiah. And he picks up that baby. Can't you just hear that word coming out of his mouth? "Now. Now I can die in what? Peace. Now." And he's holding that baby in his hands. "Now I've got peace in my life. Now. It's there." And he says this beautiful prayer. He says that Jesus has come to be a light of revelation for the Gentiles, meaning that those that weren't born in the Jewish nation could experience God and could experience a personal relationship, and that Jesus would be the best thing ever that Israel would ever produce and the best thing ever that would ever walk the face of this earth. Jesus would be the crowning glory. And it would be Christ. And I love one of the names of Jesus. One of the Christmas names of Jesus. He is the what? He is the Prince of Peace. When you know Jesus in your life, are you ready for this? Peace is not this idea. Peace is a person. And he lives in you. And he walks in you. And he changes you. And he puts peace inside of you. Because that's who Jesus is. He is peace. Now, some of us today, we don't like that. We want to find peace in other places. Because we hear Jesus is peace, and we're like, "Man, I don't buy this, Kenny. The religion thing, me and Chris is talking today, organized religion, I don't buy it." You know what? I don't buy organized religion either. Religion is a man-made system of do, 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 do. And you know what happens when you just try to make peace with God by do, 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 do? You just wind up with a life full of do, do is what happens. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Religion, church, is not some spaceship that takes you to heaven. Are you hearing me today? Religion is a name. It is a person. It is a man that walked on this earth 2,000 years ago named Jesus Christ. We gather as a church because he's given us this peace, and we share this together as brothers and sisters, and we're in community together. But here's the deal. The church is not some magic spaceship that takes you to heaven. So when we try everything because we don't want to embrace Jesus, let's go with the sex, let's go with the stuff, let's go with the liquor, let's go with the drugs, let's try all this stuff to bring peace into my life, you are missing it. Because Jesus is peace, and if you don't run to Christ for peace, nothing else will make sense. Nothing else will make sense. So today you need to quit reaching for other stuff for peace. Learn from Simeon, reach your hands out, and instead of grabbing the sex and the stuff and the liquor and the drugs and all this junk, instead of grabbing that, are you ready? Reach out your arms and grab Jesus today. Hold that King of Kings up in your heart, that Prince of Peace in your life. That's where peace comes from. See, you don't have to wait for peace today. Here's why, because the price of peace is paid. It's done. So he prays this beautiful, wonderful prayer about Jesus being all of this. But now he does something. He looks at the mama and he looks at the dad. Does he not? He looks at Mary and the adopted father, Joseph. He looks at them. He looks at them and he says this. His father and mother, verse 33, were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them. Notice he blesses Mary and Joseph. He doesn't have to bless Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the blessing. Jesus is the blessing. He doesn't have to bless Jesus. He blesses Mary and Joseph. And he says, he told his mother, "Indeed, this child is destined to cause the fall and the rise of many in Israel, and a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul. The thoughts of many hearts will be revealed." So he picks the baby up and he walks to Mary and Joseph and he begins to pray this blessing over them. He blesses them and he makes a prophetic utterance. And he says, this baby is going to do a lot of stuff. He's going to be the rise and fall of many, many people. Those that believe in him and trust in him will rise up like eagles and they will soar. They will have peace in their life. God will do a great work. Those that reject him will fall flat. They will fall flat like a stone you tripped over. Those that reject him, those that accept him. And then he says he'll be a sign. Everybody wants a sign. God, give me a sign. God, give me a sign. You ready? There was a sign given 2,000 years ago. And again, the sign was Jesus. He's a sign, is what the Bible says. He's the sign. Look at Jesus. Look at Christ. And then he looks at Mary and he says, you know what? A sword is going to pierce your soul. But what does that mean? He's going to be a stumbling block for some. He's going to be a sign for others and a sword for Mary. Because Jesus Christ, when he would grow up and he would be a man that never sinned, he would have to go to the cross. And this is why I love putting the Advent candles in front of the cross, because it's the cradle to the cross. We're thinking about when he came, but what he came for, and it was to what? To die for us, right? That's what Christmas is about. He came to die for us. So the reason a sword would strike Mary is because in order for the salvation plan to happen, in order for that to work, she would have to sit there and watch her 33-year-old son naked on a cross, suffering and dying for us. Mary was at the cross. She saw that. She saw Jesus suffering. Would she have ever thought, Christmas experience, all this amazing, marvelous things, this random old guy walks up to you in church and says, you know what, your baby's going to be a sword to your spirit. You ever think she just held that baby and said, wonder if that's how it's going to work out. Wonder if he's going to go to a cross. Probably not. Probably not. Today, people will pay and pay and pay for stuff that they think will bring them peace. They'll go to counseling. They'll go to therapy. They'll do all kinds of stuff. I looked on the internet this week, and it was funny. You know, Gatlinburg may not be the most peaceful place for everybody, but I love it. I love Gatlinburg. I love it, and Taryn likes it too. And but I looked at the number one peaceful resort in the world, voted, and it was some place on some, I say Chile Island. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, but some island somewhere, okay, voted number one peaceful place to go in the most peaceful resort. Hey, it'll only cost you $5,000 a person to go there for a week. That's not bad, is it? That's not too bad, you know, to pay $5,000 for a week to go for peace in your life. And so, I mean, people will just shell out money for stuff they think will get them peace. But can I tell you something? The price of peace, it's been paid for a long time. A long, long time. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that was the price of peace. That was the cost. It was paid in full, the wrath of God on Jesus, so we could be saved if we believe and trust. And it's simple today. How do you get peace? Admit to God you're a sinner. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again, and choose to follow him as your Lord and Savior. You've heard me say today that you can have peace today if you want it. You don't have to walk out of here without peace. Well, so what, Kenny? So what? What if I hear you and I choose not to walk out with Jesus? That's your choice. That's up to you. But understand there's consequences to that. That if today is another day that you choose to walk without peace, listen, it will be a day you walk without peace. Peace. I don't know why people choose to be miserable, but they do all the time. They do all the time. I told the ladies back in the nursery this morning, and I said, you know, it actually takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. But I don't blame people for frowning a lot, because they've got burdens in their heart, right? Junk in their soul. They're waiting and waiting and waiting, and nothing is fulfilling them, so it burdens them. If we only turned to Jesus, what excuse do you have today for not giving your life to Christ? What excuse do you have if you're anxious and you're nervous of not just saying, Christ will be my focus today? That with Jesus, regardless of what comes, I have Christ, and Christ is enough in my life. Christ is enough in my life. And can you imagine today? Can you imagine? Last little point there on the bottom of it. I want to ask you a question. Personal as can be. What would my life look like tonight if I had peace? Tonight. What would it look like if peace invaded your soul in this service right now? And I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 hours from now. And peace really came into your life. What would it look like in your life tonight? What would it look like? Regardless if your circumstances changed or they didn't change. If peace really came, what would it look like tonight? Friend, if you don't know Jesus today, you don't know peace. And the Lord is calling us to trust that He died and He was buried and He rose again. And my prayer for all of us today is that you would come and give your life to Jesus. And for those of you that don't know the Lord, that don't know the Lord, I would encourage you to pray just here in a few moments to give your heart to Christ. Those that do know Christ, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to let Jesus be the source of peace in your life. Whatever you're dealing with, the source of peace. Because you may have to wait. But you don't have to wait for peace. Those that need Jesus today, would you just open your heart? Everybody bow your head today. Close your eyes. Maybe today you're thinking, I need Jesus in my life for the very first time. I don't have peace in my life. Friend, it's as simple as admitting you're a sinner, believing that Jesus died and rose again, and choosing to follow Him. I want to encourage you to pray this prayer with me today. It goes like this. If you're ready today to invite peace in your life, invite Jesus into your life. It goes like this. Dear Father, I am a sinner, and I need Jesus today. I believe He died, and He came into my life to save me. I'm choosing to follow Christ. Thank you for saving me. I pray in your name. With head still bowed and eyes still closed, if you did that today, if you prayed to receive Christ today, I won't embarrass you. I won't call you out. I won't even make a reference at all. I promise. But I'd like for you to admit that today, that you accepted Jesus today. If you did that today, would you just raise your hand and say, I prayed to receive Christ today. Anybody today, God bless you. Maybe some of you all are Christians in this room today and you are struggling with some situations that is robbing your peace. If Christ is in your life, you have peace. But it's time we just focus on Jesus, letting Him be enough. Some of you all may need to come and pray today. Our deacons will be here. I'll be here to pray with you. Make a decision. You do as God lays on your heart. And I pray that everyone walks out of here today with peace in their life. Father, we love You. I thank You for Christ, who is our peace. So Jesus, come today on this Advent Sunday of peace and be our peace. Because, Lord, we don't have to wait for peace because of Jesus. We pray this in Your name. Amen. Won't we stand? This is our time of prayer, our prayer time that we have as a church, our response time. If God has touched you, if you pray to receive Christ, this is the time you'd come and maybe tell me, or maybe you have an issue that you'd like to pray with just down front, or you'd like a deacon to pray with you. This is a response time and our prayer time as a church. So as we sing today, you come as God lays on your heart.